I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, daily NFL podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is currently Monday, September 27th. You may be listening on Tuesday, September 28th. You can watch this show on YouTube, youtube.com/pick6. We're live after every primetime game. And you know, usually there's three of us here, but it's an Eagles game. So look who stepped into the studio. It appears based on his background that he likes Penn State. It appears based on his face that he was lost.
As Wilson said before 41. The podcast, Debo had to quickly get down all his Eagles stuff and put up his Penn State stuff after that embarrassment.
I wish I still cared about how Micah Parsons played because I could take some pride in that. But I don't care anymore, and I'm not happy.
It's tough to be happy about. So Wilson's here, Breach is here, Debo's here. There is some chatter about a fourth super friend, and we hire a new producer. I don't know. It would send the podcast off the rails. Can't have that happen. But I am curious, Debo, what is your biggest complaint about the Eagles? Because if I were picking one, by the way, it would be Nick Sirianni's play calling.
That's way up there. I think just the undisciplined play is up there as well. A couple of blockers downfield, holding after holding, which I think all falls under Sirianni. In addition to the play calling, I mean, Miles Sanders had two carries for 27 yards, and they never, ever went back to him. I know they were down, they were trailing, but there was no effort to reestablish the run. Kellen Moore looks like a genius tonight. Nick Sirianni completely outcoached, and still probably Mike McCarthy made some even more questionable decisions. It didn't hurt the Cowboys, but we'll talk about McCarthy. But Sirianni is up there. Jalen Hurts played really, really bad. That's not, for me, not an indictment on his future. You're not switching to Joe Flacco or Gardner Minshew like some people will call for. I don't think that Jalen Hurts can't be a starter in this league. I don't think Nick Sirianni can't coach, but these guys have a long way to go.
That is a ringing endorsement.
That's a frank assessment.
I will say that on the pregame gambling show, and Sully ended up being correct. The move was to take the Cowboys over. Hit Cowboys won.
What was that final line?
Final for the over.
The spread.
I think it was three and a half.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yes. The Eagles didn't cover. Okay.
No, they lost by 20.
I'm kidding.
Sorry. the way Debo described it was you very typical optimistic Debo. I think the Eagles can win this. But if you are a longtime listener to this podcast and you heard Debo talking, you should have bet the Cowboys. Like, I changed my pick and my picks pulled to the Cowboys after Debo. Debo's like, look, you know, anything can happen. Sure, these injuries are a problem. I'm not sure what's going to go on. That was an ass kicking, man. And this division, we're all on the Washington football team going in. Ugh. And I don't think Mike McCarthy's a good coach. And there's no chance the Cowboys will win a Super Bowl with him. Mm-hmm. But the Cowboys look like clearly the best team in the NFC East, right?
Yeah. And here's the thing, and I don't want to take any away from Cowboys fans. They should enjoy this because this was a thorough butt kicking. It's part of the game reminded me of what happened to Justin Fields on Sunday, and that Jalen Hurts didn't have a chance. he did make some mistakes, and Debo and I were talking about it before the podcast. The RPO stuff where he held the ball too long and let his offensive lineman get 12 yards down the field. That can't happen. I'm assuming they talked about that at some point. But he was also running for his life, taking hits. The first interception was not great. It was, you know, wildly underthrown. But the Cowboys, Micah Parsons is legit. The issue with Micah Parsons coming out was some maturity issues early on in his Penn State career. I think he threw Debo into a locker and didn't let him out. Yeah, it's not a – I mean, the guy can play. And sometimes
– he's good.
You know, if he keeps his nose clean, metaphorically, stays on the short and narrow – or the straight and narrow, then he's absolutely worth wherever they took him in the draft.
I mean, DeMarcus Lawrence suffered a IR-level injury, and Micah Parsons just sliding down to defensive end.
Dude, said, hey, move over there and do that.
Yeah.
Said, okay, maybe watch this.
Rush the passer and play a completely different position than anything you've ever played.
Hasn't played defensive end since high school. But what I do want to say, Dak Prescott is awesome. He's Jerry Jones should pay him more, even though he waited 2 years to pay him what he paid him. But I will say this, and you sort of hinted at it, Debo and Brinson. My issue with the Cowboys coming into the season was Dak Prescott's health, the defense, and Mike McCarthy. My biggest concern right now is Mike McCarthy.
Oh, 100%.
They will win. They could win 11 games. Maybe
12 or 13.
They are going to lose in the playoffs because of some dumb decision that Mike McCarthy makes because he refuses to change.
100%. This team is offensively very good. Defensively they have climbed from
Diggs.
But defensively, they've climbed from bottom of the barrel to either average, below average, or just above average. But that's all they need. They don't need to be great defensively.
I would say they're above average. I mean, you look at the turnovers they forced tonight, you can put them on Hurts for throwing bad interceptions, but you can't keep not giving the Cowboys credit for turnovers they're forcing. I mean, I think they are tied with the Saints for the best turnover differential in the NFL after 3 weeks, which is insane to think about because this was literally one of the one or two worst defenses in the league last year. And it's amazing what Dan Quinn has done. You know, Brinson, you were talking about yesterday how you felt like you were a year off on your Steelers prediction because you predicted them to finish.
You were a year off on our Cowboys prediction.
Right. And I had the Cowboys in the Super Bowl last year because I thought they were going to play like this. And, you know, I think Dan Quinn has been kind of the cog, the missing piece that they needed because maybe he can go in. He's a former head coach. He can go into the coaches meeting today and be like, look, Mike, you botched the halftime. Peyton Manning's freaking calling you out on national television. No, we can't have things like that when these games are closer.
Hey, listen, Mike, I think I know a thing or two about closing out games. But you know, we had Sam Monson and C. Palazzo on the PFF guys before the season during analytics week. And I can't remember if it was Sam or Steve, but I think it was Steve. One of them said, when you have a scheme change, the analytics say that it's sort of like the dead cat bounce, where you have the scheme change and everything improves because, you know, if somebody gets fired, everyone tries harder at their job. And there's a new scheme change. Everybody's trying to buy in. You want the new coach to like you. You want the new coach to want to play you. You're looking for more money from the organization. And I think that's kind of happening with Dan Quinn. He's doing a good job calling defenses for the Cowboys. And they were minus 150 to win the division going into this weekend. Or into this week, I guess, or whatever. And
that's easy money.
Well, now they're probably minus 250 at least.
By the way, Dan Quinn is a perfect example, at least over 3 weeks, of the Peter principle. The Peter principle is you're so successful at your job, you can get promoted to a job that you have no business having. And I think we had that conversation a lot about coordinators who go to head coaches.
I mean, he's very close to winning a Super Bowl, though.
But my point is that head coaching is a completely different animal than being a coordinator. And sometimes if you stay in your lane, That's okay. You don't have to be a head coach just because that's what someone says is the pinnacle of success, quote unquote. You can do like Josh McDaniels. Like four times he decided he was going to be a head coach for 15 minutes. He said, you know what? I'm going to go back to New England, stay in my lane, let Bill do the heavy lifting, and I'll just reap the benefits of being a really good offensive coordinator. So can Sean McVay do it? Can Kyle Shanahan do it? Yes, Sean Payton. But that doesn't mean everyone else can do it. And I think that maybe that's a good lesson. Dan Quinn.
Can you bet on the Cowboys losing in the playoffs
due to a Mike McCarthy bad decision?
100%.
Like I want to parlay. I guess it would have to be like
minus 800
money, but it's Bucks,
it's minus 800.
Rams, 49ers,
They would have to like outline the rules of what.
Ooh, can I bet on him losing with a miserable coaching decision to his old team?
Well, here's the crazy thing is that, look, the Cowboys just won a game by 20 points, and we are talking about Mike McCarthy botching the end of the first half. And I think it's a fair criticism because, look, he did this in every single game they played. The Buccaneers game, remember he tried that 60-yard field goal with 20 seconds left.
And last week he played for a 56-yard
Well, hold on. I'm getting to that game. I'm starting with week one here. So that was a brain-dead decision that you don't make. You try a 60-yard field goal when there's 1 second left on the clock and the other team's not going to get the ball. They missed that. Tampa got a shot at another play, but they didn't score, so it didn't blow back in his face. And then week two, what you're about to mention, Brinson, is that they almost blew the end of the game because Mike McCarthy's time management, this is like Brinson trying to read a calendar, you know? Sometimes he doesn't know what day it is. McCarthy never knows what day it is, doesn't know what month it is. He has no idea what's going on with these clock management situations at the end of the half.
Do you know what happened last week with the clock management of the Chargers game? Mike McCarthy said after the game, Kellen Moore couldn't see the shot clock.
The video board.
Because it was blocked by a camera guy. You literally have 40 people working for you sitting in all parts of the stadium. You're telling me that it came down to 4'8" Kellen Moore not being able to see the clock.
And your offensive coordinator, who was like focusing on calling plays to get you downfield, has other things to focus on besides where the play clock's at.
I think next sabbatical for Mike McCarthy, he should practice sprinting all over the field so he gets every angle of the clock. He knows what's going on. Blow the whistle. Do 5 push-ups. Call a timeout. Just do things to get yourself prepared.
Listen, the other thing is like, and this is so stupid and not at all like really football related. But my buddy Nathan is always on to these, you know, a little bit of red flags. Mike McCarthy wore a giant windbreaker to Tampa Bay and was just dripping sweat. It's just that there's a certain lack of preparation angle. If you go to Tampa Bay in Florida and wear a giant windbreaker and you weigh 200 something pounds and you're going to run around up the sidelines, I think that's just somebody who's not prepared.
I would bet a large sum of money that he lost his luggage. Like he left it back at his house. He forgot to take it with him. So that's all that the equipment guy had. So he had to wear a big parka out there because otherwise he's naked underneath like breeches for every show.
My man lived in Green Bay forever. He's just like, I just coached in windbreakers. He just had a Tampa Bay.
By the way, Brinson, read this comment from Devin Latimer. It's actually spot on.
I love how he's made, this is fair. I love how he's made all these mistakes and literally none of them backfire so far. LOL. I just hope it stays that way. And so this is kind of the crux of the analytics coaching argument. You cannot be about results. You cannot be results oriented. If you continue to make bad decisions over and over again, eventually those bad decisions will bite you in the ass. You need to have a good process. And
okay, let me ask you this. Sell me, any one of you, on why he stood there like a statue with a minute to go.
At halftime?
Yeah, and just
selling it. Here's the sell. Debo, as an Eagles fan, were you like fist pumping as he's just, yeah, you're like, this guy's not calling him out.
I was shocked. And the fact that the Eagles were getting the ball, they were down by 13 points. And, you know, Jalen Hurts ends up throwing the pick six. His receiver trips, but something different happens there. His receiver doesn't trip. It's not a pick six. The Cowboys were still winning this game. Like you said, you can't just base it off the results. The Cowboys were the better team tonight. They deserved to win. It was always going to be a blowout, but you can't risk it in those situations when you get to play better teams and God forbid the playoffs.
If that's the Buccaneers or the Rams or somebody like that, they are like, you have to take that extra possession and try to go score and stomp on their throat. Now, again, he was right. Oh, I have multiple golf pencils in my hand. He was right in the sense that they won by 20 points. His result was correct. But Mike McCarthy's process is identical to his process from Green Bay, which led to three of the worst, most painful playoff losses you will ever see. And I would venture a guess – I think Dallas is – we were wrong about Nick Sirianni and the Eagles. We got week one's a lie, and we got tricked by the Falcons' defense. The Eagles are not good.
No, don't say we. I wasn't sold on the Eagles.
I got tricked. Sorry.
I don't know where Breach was. I understand defense.
I picked the Cowboys by double digits. It was the lock of the week.
I just got to think what Giants fans are feeling right now, though. Because
they still feel terrible.
That's not good.
Giants fans, the Giants are miserable. So, Washington's defense is bad.
I mean, I think this division, I thought it was going to always come down to the final week of the season. There would be teams.
It still might.
It might. It might. Yeah. But there's a chance this could be 3 or 4 game runaway for the Cowboys.
That feels more likely.
That's how I feel too. But that,
so we've been dumping on Mike
McCarthy, but I don't think it's wrong.
We've been dumping on Mike McCarthy and understanding what's up. But they
just won by 20 points.
As you mentioned, they blew the doors off the Eagles. You mentioned it a little bit, Debo, but I'm strolling through the old Twitter machine here, and you mentioned Nick Sirianni didn't do a great coaching job. He was actually outcoached, according to you, which is a sad day for Nick Sirianni.
Wilson, question for you. If you can answer this trivia question, I'll give you $2.
Awesome. $2 bill. That's all I accepted.
Thomas Jefferson.
I have a $2 bill in my office.
Oh, there you go. What do you got?
Did the Eagles have more or less than 11 rushing attempts? Actually, no, don't answer that. You got to give me the exact number of rushing attempts for the Eagles, and I'll give you $2.
9.
No, not Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts rushing attempts don't count.
What? You can't just add in arbitrary rules anyway. After the fact.
All right. 2. Take away Jalen Hurts rushing attempts.
2.
6.
3.
Ooh. I get $1.
I get the other $1.
I'll send you $1. No breach, you get nothing.
So Nick Sirianni said after the game that the quote-unquote chart told him to punt on the 2 4th-and-5s.
Ugh.
Cowboys territory in the first half.
What chart? Like, who made the chart? Mike McCarthy?
Mike McCarthy. It was the Mike McCarthy chart.
I heard Mike McCarthy.
Do you agree with that, Debo? Do you agree with the 2 punts on 4th-and-5?
The one before half was a little trickier for me. I always like being aggressive. It's what I love so much about Doug Peterson, to bring up his name. But I don't know. I thought potentially in that situation, the way the Cowboys were playing in the first half, don't give them good field position. You're getting the ball after half, reset at halftime. That one, I didn't want to be scared of it, but I was more okay with that one.
I mean, Tim McMahon,
it started interception, punt, punt, punt.
Oh boy. Tim McManus tweeted also, as I scroll through these, the Eagles have set a record for the most penalties through the first 3 games of a season.
That's embarrassing.
Wildly frustrating. Yeah.
Yeah, that more than the punting, and you sort of parse the punting, but the penalties, at some point you guys, this isn't high school. This isn't like August practice in high school for JV. This is 3 weeks in after you've been practicing for a month and a half.
13 for 86 is
what are we doing? Bad. What are we doing?
Why you gotta throw JV high school teams under the bus, man?
And you're not even giving
call for penalties.
Yeah, you're not even giving Jalen Hurts a chance. He wasn't good, but you're not giving him a chance.
But they weren't. It was similar, I thought, to what the Bears did against the Browns. You know what? I mean, you know what the score is, right? You're going into Dallas. You're playing a high octane offense, and it's going to put up 28 points. You're not stopping them from putting up 4 touchdowns, right? I think we can all agree on that. You have to have an offense designed to accentuate Jalen Hurts' skill set. Don't make Jalen Hurts.
And there was issues with his accuracy. His touch has been an issue. I don't think so far people are saying arm strength. I think it's just more touch on deep balls, decision making.
His arm strength is fine. But that's right. That first interception was not great. The second one, I love that he went to the Devontae Smith and said, "What happened?" He goes, "I fell down." But that's not why he threw the interception, my man. He threw it right to him. Trevon Diggs made a fantastic play.
That was getting picked probably either way. I don't know if it would be a pick six either way, but
right.
It's rough. He's throwing behind people, above. The accuracy is something that we thought we could count on a little bit more and hasn't necessarily been there since the Falcons.
So, Debo, my latest mock draft comes out tomorrow. The Eagles have back-to-back picks. They don't have the Colts pick just yet. And they're all both in the top 10. Are you taking a quarterback?
It's Carson Wentz ASAP.
That could happen. Are you taking a quarterback with 2 top 10 picks?
Ryan, I'm not ready to answer that question. I do not want to give up on Jalen Hurts. Okay. I mean, certainly it's a big question in the offseason, but if things trend this way, it's a slam dunk yes.
Oh, okay. So if Jalen Hurts has 4 more games like this, then you got some questions.
Yeah,
well, now the other side of this argument too is, you know, before certain people in this podcast, obviously not me, were saying that Sam Howell was great. I mean,
my Jonah Hill gif.
You might like a Carson Strong pick.
Here's a little sneak peek. I have 2 quarterbacks going in the first round of my mock draft tomorrow. Neither of them is named Spencer or Sam.
Carson Strong and Ritter.
No, I like Ritter, but no, Matt Corral.
Oh, Ole Miss. The Ole Miss guy.
Yeah, he's intriguing.
Look, AKA the -120 Heisman guy.
Oh, nice.
I think Devontae Smith is going to have a super successful career in Philadelphia. But
I like him.
When the Eagles traded up the number one person that I wanted in that spot was Justin Fields. Now, coming off of yesterday, it's a little bit different to say that, but I think he's going to have an awesome career, something that's better than Jalen Hurts. And then the other spot where the Eagles are severely lacking is linebacker, and Micah Parsons was selected, now playing the edge, but linebacker selected in the spot that they traded up with the Cowboys.
I have him taking a linebacker tomorrow, Debo.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay. I'm not ready.
Number three overall, they take a linebacker.
They trade up to number one and take a linebacker.
I'm not ready to write off Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, well, especially not after this game, because you're talking about, you know, sure, he threw two interceptions, but the Cowboys defense has literally been doing that to every quarterback they played this season. Tom Brady threw two interceptions against this defense. Justin Herbert threw two interceptions against this defense. So it's not like, you know, Jalen Hurts went out there and threw six interceptions. The Cowboys defense, I think, is just unexpectedly good. And I'm not saying that Jalen Hurts is Tom Brady or
Breach is so used to giving moral victory pep talks. He's like, well,
he didn't throw six interceptions. I'm just saying that
Tom Brady and Justin Herbert both threw two interceptions against his defense.
So take that, Jay.
The Cowboys defense is better than we think.
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, Breach.
But the Eagles did Jalen Hurts no favors.
They're 22nd, the Cowboys defense, coming into this week, according to Football Outsiders. They will obviously improve.
Right, so who did Ryan have the Eagles taking his next mock draft? We'll tell you after the break.
Ooh. The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
It's always an arm wrestle to get to a break with you guys.
I didn't see Debo drop it in the notes.
That's fine. Who'd you have the Eagles taking? Who's the linebacker?
Christian Harris, Alabama.
I'll take an Alabama guy.
How about Saban on the Manning cast? They're like, do you watch NFL games? He goes, no. I usually work from is it 12 to 10? I usually just grind on film in my office. He goes, but
from noon to 10 p.m.
Noon to 10 p.m.
Okay, I don't know if like he's just a night owl or something. Gotcha.
No, he has responsible hours. No, not midnight to 10 a.m.
Yeah, but you never know with that guy. He's crazy
for sure. No, he's like Tom Brady. He takes care of his body, man. Because he eats a bunch of guac and.
Did he have bad lighting, Nick Saban?
Did you not see it? It looked like he was in a Vegas strip club.
A bat cave.
Yeah, dude, it did. It was like he was in his. Remember the NFL films where he and Belichick were.
Yeah, that was nice. Nice.
No, he was in the same room.
Oh.
He was up against this like camera where he was definitely watching film. It was this weird purple light and it had no microphone. It was not good audio. I thought LeBron was terrible on the Manning cast.
Yeah, like Breach and I said last week.
I love LeBron, but Stafford and Chris Long were good.
As Breach and I noted last week, we're trying to do our job, so we're not in there indulging in the.
Yeah, sorry, we got to work, Princeton.
Celebrity talky talks. We're watching.
Fawning over the celebrities talking to the Mannings.
What are you doing for your job that's different than watching football?
Because they're not talking. They're not doing the play-by-play. Like, I don't know which player's doing what.
I don't need play-by-play. I watch football. Okay. Well, you need somebody to tell you something. Oh, look, Zach Ertz caught a football.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. The guy whose last name is Ertz on his jersey caught a football.
I actually watch on mute.
I'll add that.
That makes you a serial killer.
Well, it makes it easier to follow and everything, and I can track everything easier. I'm watching stats. I have streams going so that I can take screen grabs. There's a lot going on. I don't need the sound to bother me.
That's
I was talking with a couple of coworkers that if your team is involved in the game, much less likely to watch the Manning cast.
Oh,
there's much going on.
Sure.
Regular broadcast, but other weeks.
That's right.
It's a good direction.
I agree with that.
Okay. Well, I mean, I don't have a team. I just, you know,
no, you don't.
Executive journalist.
No, he does have a team. He's suddenly on the Panthers bandwagon that they're playing well.
He rides bandwagons till they crash, and then he crawls off with a mangled leg to another bandwagon, and then that one crashes.
That's right.
Princeton literally just jumps on bandwagons to crash him. This is him driving.
I jump on the bandwagons. I crash them into walls, and then I sprint away to another bandwagon to crash that one into a wall.
You stumble away because you got a concussion from running into the wall.
Yeah.
He's in concussion protocol, can't host the podcast for a week.
At any rate, I don't know what the point was. Going at here.
You were talking about Nick Saban for some reason.
We were getting
Saban had bad lighting. Right. Saban had bad lighting and like a terrible microphone. But he pointed out that he goes, yeah, I don't really watch any NFL, but my assistant, I think it's Linda, she every week she like collates the performance of former Alabama players.
Oh, that's nice.
He goes, by our last count, we have 73 Alabama players on NFL rosters. He goes, not all of them are active. 73!
And he didn't get there till 2007, so it's not like he's been there for 50 years. And
the 73 is insane.
I just love the idea that this Linda woman hands him a weekly report on how all these Alabama players played each
week. Have you ever seen Miss Linda?
He's too busy to watch NFL games.
Have you ever seen Miss Linda? Miss Linda's like, she's in like all the Saban documentaries they do.
I don't watch Saban documentaries.
He calls her Miss Linda.
I cover the NFL. He's a college coach.
Rach watches documentaries on mute.
He just
what a big jam!
He watches one tonight.
He watches them on mute the first time, and then on the second time, he does Mystery Science Theater to them. Makes me
weird.
Maybe
he watches football games on mute. That's weird.
He's weird.
That what are you gonna do?
I mean, it's not mute. It's like the volume's on like two.
How did
it's like a whisper?
How did Game of Thrones work out on mute for you? Better or worse?
Well, I came up with the dialogue, so it was better in the final season.
I knew it.
If you're trying to figure out, wouldn't you divide total players on NFL rosters by 73 would give you the percent of? That can't be right. Is that right? There's no way Nick Saban has 23% of NFL.
No, rosters. That's not right. That. 73 divided by 32.
Oh, you know, he said they're not all active. Right.
But 73 divided by 32 tells you how many players per team are Alabama players. What is
2.3.
that? 2.3. Yeah.
So 2.3. That's a lot.
Jalen Hurts count? Transfers count?
Yeah, I think
the,
so.
The NFL actually had a list at the beginning of the season of active players. And obviously, this
Jalen Hurts would be Oklahoma because they count Russell Wilson as Wisconsin.
But as of week one, Alabama had 53 active players. That was number one. Ohio State was number two with 47. LSU was number three with 46. And nobody else had more than 40.
Okay. Good stat. Fun fact. So, Debo, would you rather win the division at 7-10?
Yes.
Yes.
Or get two top five picks in the Colts tank too?
I mean,
threw
me for a loop there. I didn't see that.
Yeah, didn't see that coming, did you?
I mean, we'll talk. We have lots of time to talk about this. What's the quarterback? Like, what is this quarterback class? Because I want it like Jalen Hurts. Have to remember, and they brought this up on the traditional broadcast, you know, this is his seventh start. He should be treated like some of these other rookies that we're evaluating. He didn't have the prestige of being a first round pick, but he's a second rounder that has showed some promise.
And it's even worse. He had to like replace Carson Wentz, who.
Right. Let's put him on that scale.
Won a Super Bowl ring in Philadelphia.
I'll tell you this. Number one, the quarterback class is not great. And this troubles me because the Steelers need a quarterback and they'll be picking pretty high if things continue to go in the direction they're going.
You need to take for one more year and get Devin Leary.
So everyone's going to be bidding for Aaron Rodgers?
And that's, I think there's going to be a lot of free agency conversations with the quarterbacks, number one. Number two, in terms of Jalen Hurts, if you compare Jalen Hurts' final season to Oklahoma to Spencer Rattler's season right now, Jalen Hurts is going 50 picks before Spencer Rattler. Like, it's probably closer than that, but, I mean, there are a lot of questions about Spencer Rattler, and there were fewer questions about Jalen Hurts once he got to Oklahoma in Lincoln Riley's offense. There obviously were some questions. He felt like a third-round pick to me, but he obviously the the Eagles liked him in the second round. So
in Lincoln Riley's about to go to the SEC. Lincoln Riley is like, man, I should have taken that job in the NFL with the Cowboys.
But I just think like if your team, I think I told you guys I was at the Syracuse Liberty game on Friday night looking at Malik Willis for Liberty. And I was talking to Scott after the game. He goes, man, I'm glad our team doesn't need a quarterback because there's some slim pickings this year and guys are going to get overdrafted, which is, you know, obviously what always happens.
Yeah.
So bad news for you, Debo. Bad news for me.
And Malik Willis is good, but he's not.
He's not. I would
the comp is Lamar Jackson. That's just not fair to him.
No, he's not Lamar Jackson. He's not
even close.
I don't know. He runs close to probably Justin Fields as a runner, but
Sam Howell got beat by 25 points.
Yeah, here's who Sam Howell is. I was actually thinking about this the other day when I was driving to Stanford. He is Jordan Love in Jordan Love's final year at Utah State when every single person left the year before. All the wide receivers, the offensive line was completely new at Utah State. I know UNC has all their five linemen back, but they suck. They're not blocking anyone. He has no one to throw to. He has no one to hand the ball off to, and he's getting absolutely crushed. And he's not as good as Jordan Love. So Jordan Love went at the bottom of the first round. So just something to keep in mind. Yeah, he might
not going top five right now.
The draft capital will be there for the Eagles. They have
They might get the number one pick, Debo.
No, the Colts are
I'm looking at their schedule right now. When's their next win? Is it before November?
Oh, no.
I mean,
I love how Breach is feeling himself as a Bengals fan.
No, what was supposed to be such an easy schedule has turned into you got the Panthers upcoming that are 3-0. You have the Raiders that are 3-0.
Breach is right. This is a problem.
It's not great. What gives me solace is the division. And the Jets are that 17th game that has been added for the Eagles. So if I could pick any 17th game to be added, it's the Jets.
Did you just say that gives me solace is the Jets are 17?
Yeah, that's a win.
Still got them on the schedule.
Hey, so here's something that this is actually.
Just for the record, here are the next six games for the Eagles.
Oh, boy.
Chiefs at home.
Win. They got it. Win, baby.
Andy's ready to roll that score up. At Panthers, you can take the win if you want. It ain't going to be one. Buccaneers at home. At Thursday. Raiders. At Lions. Chargers at home.
At Broncos, Saints.
I could be 0-6.
What if they win all of those though?
That would be surprising.
2-4. 2-4.
I think 2-4 is fair.
Okay.
What does that make y'all on the season?
Look, tonight was bad. They played
3-7.
This is like the portion where it's just like too optimistic, Debo. But they played 45 minutes last week against the 49ers as the better team. Like they
for sure
well could have won that game. Tonight was ugly. Cowboys clearly a better team. I'm not saying, you know, we're about to reel off eight straight losses.
They need, the problem is like Brandon Brooks and your boy, who's the left tackle?
Jordan Mailata. Was tremendous last week and was a huge
downgrade. And you lose Brandon Graham.
They lost their left guard tonight, Isaac Seumalo. So losing 3 of 5 on the offensive line is not
a good formula. It's very similar to the Steelers in the sense that the Steelers needed offensive line, the defensive line, to be healthy and to put the pressure on other quarterbacks to win games. The Eagles were winning early in the trenches, and if you get injuries in the trenches, the Eagles are probably toast.
Yeah, no Brandon Graham. I will give Ryan a shout-out for his Javon Hargrave praise that he gave me last year that was completely missing. He's playing like one of the best defensive tackles in football this year, but he left the game a little bit tonight. Fletcher Cox left for a little bit. The Cowboys equally kind of beat up on defense. I just kind of think it shows the depth and their young stars kind of stepping up, which the Eagles do not have. And I'll speak real quickly while Trevon Diggs balling out for the Cowboys. Same can't be said for the Eagles' big-time acquisition of last year, Darius Slay. Yeah.
Kind of.
It was 27-14.
It was horrifically underthrown. He swatted it.
So the spot where – you know, I held out some hope. It's 27-14, either late third or early fourth, and McCarthy actually decides to go for it. Dak extends the play, and Slay just loses Cedric Wilson.
Yeah.
And that.
The fourth by the goal line.
Yeah.
Oh. And so you were watching it. The Mannings were like, what is this play? What are they doing? Thank God they have Dak Prescott, or else this is a nothing burger. And that's why if you're an Eagles fan, you can hold out hope that Mike McCarthy might just screw this up. Now, we've spent the better part of this, actually, really, literally.
Hold on. I have one more thing to add. You interrupted me 20 minutes ago, and I never got a chance to
I was just trying to give the Cowboys some praise.
No, we gave them praise. Here's one thing to keep in mind. The Eagles might have 3 first-round picks. And Nick Caserio. I think the other Caserio, Jeff Caserio, is a comedian from like the 90s. Nick Caserio actually may end up having more leverage than he has now with Deshaun Watson, because no quarterbacks in the draft class. Deshaun Watson ain't playing. And if he doesn't, if he's found not guilty, and I have no idea.
There's no guilty or not guilty in civil lawsuits, for the record.
Oh, there's some criminal file, Charles.
Nothing filed.
Oh, okay. So whatever happens off the field, and I don't know what's going to happen, and I'm not judging it either way.
Just a politician, not a lawyer.
That's right. That's a good phrase to remember. Yeah. He is going to be in high demand. So Philadelphia, Miami were popular destinations early in the summer.
If Deshaun Watson were to have his 20-something lawsuits settled off the field, and the Eagles had 3 first-round picks, the Eagles could dramatically change how you perceive the Eagles.
Debo, are you giving up those 3 first-round picks for a Deshaun Watson?
Look at the wholesomeness in Debo's eyes.
No, it's tough to see how it plays out. But I speculated kind of after they traded back, acquired some more draft capital last year. I thought that was totally in an effort to get Deshaun Watson. Things came up after that, but I think this team has been angling for Deshaun Watson for a while. They obviously can't make a move now, but that would not shock me in the least.
So that's something to keep an eye on.
I believe that Howie Roseman Howie Roseman has clawed his way. Andy Dufresne. He got locked in. He crawled his way out. He was on top of the world. And now he's like, oh boy, I don't want to go back to prison. So I am going to figure out some big splash. Trade Carson Wentz, get some first round picks. And now you trade for Deshaun Watson. It makes a lot of sense in the offseason. Jalen Hurts doesn't feel like the guy, but let's give 5 minutes before we get out of here. The Cowboys look good. Offensively, they look good. Kellen Moore, very good offensive coordinator.
Here's the thing. Peter Principle with Kellen Moore. So he's hired just because he's great at calling plays and magically be a great coach.
I'll tell you what, you know what might happen.
Oh yeah, he's gonna get Wade Phillips.
That's right, baby. He's gonna get Jason Garrett and Mike McCarthy.
Wade Phillips used to wear that big puffy jacket too, and that's how it happened to him.
I know Wade Phillips is a good head coach for the Cowboys.
He got the Jack Del Rio treatment.
You know, we did talk about whether or not the Cowboys are the best team in the NFC East. I think we probably all agree right now they are. But are they one of the best teams in the NFC overall?
No.
I mean, they went toe-to-toe with the Buccaneers in week one. They beat a very good Chargers team on the road.
Where do they rank on your personal power rankings?
On the BreachBot 3000 scale, they are the third best team in the NFC.
That's terrible.
That is completely and wholly terrible. Go ahead.
Where do you guys have them?
You have the Bengals.
I would put them behind the Bucks, the Rams, the 49ers, and the Packers. So I have them fifth.
It's not a big difference.
Cardinals. That's a pretty big difference.
Cardinals.
I would, too. That's a good question.
I trust Cliff Kingsbury less than I trust Mike McCarthy. That's where I'm at. Cliff Kingsbury. Oh,
yeah. That's
actually, I have them fourth. So
did the Cardinals beat the tar out of the Cowboys last year? They did on Monday night.
Last year.
Yeah, that was with Andy Dalton. With
Andy Dalton in his first game where they looked like they didn't even get him ready for the game. That was the same week that Ryan predicted 9-7, just hours before that game kicked
off.
That's not right.
Yes.
No, it was on Thanksgiving because those are my parents' house.
No, it's not Thanksgiving. The Cowboys and Cardinals did not play on Thanksgiving.
I guarantee you.
That was the week Ryan picked 9-7. So it was early in the season. I think it was the first game that Dalton played.
Yeah, put your top three of the NFC in the comments on YouTube. Who you got?
Rich got one vote from our buddy Clarence Yee.
Yes, Clarence on the same page.
I do think the Cowboys are better than we gave him credit for. But Mike McCarthy will be their death.
Unquestionably.
Like, that's going to happen in the playoffs.
Okay, Breach, you had them ranked third in the NFC. Where does Mike McCarthy rank on your NFC coaching rankings?
16th.
There it is.
Is that how many teams are in the NFC? 16?
Yeah.
So you have
maybe 15th.
Cliff Kingsbury. He's 16th.
He's probably ahead of Joe Judge. And
would you trade Zach Sirianni for McCarthy right now?
No. If I'm the Bengals?
You'd rather have Zach Taylor?
100%.
Thank you, Ryan.
Oh, he missed. He missed.
Zach
Taylor than Mike McCarthy?
Taylor's in first place in a tougher division.
So just to be clear, Breach, you think that Mike McCarthy, you think the Cowboys are top three team in the NFC, but you think that Mike McCarthy's worse than Zach Taylor?
I said I would rather have Zach Taylor than Mike McCarthy.
You've been caught, my friend.
Would you rather have Dan Campbell?
Would you rather have Debo?
What are you flailing, Debo?
Zach Taylor. Oh, I want to get a round table, Ryan.
Hey, Debo, rock, Taylor. Paper, scissors. Who'd you rather have?
I would say Zach Taylor.
There you go, Brenton.
I don't think he's
3-1.
Then why do you? Then you can't justify Cowboys as your third best team in the NFC if you think Zach Taylor's better than friggin' Mike McCarthy.
Yes, you absolutely can. They're so talented they can overcome their coaching.
If Zach Taylor coached the Cowboys, they'd be the second best team in the NFC.
Who are your top three, Breach?
Rams, Bucks, Cowboys. Is that right?
If you pin Breach down and make him actually give you facts,
he can't do it.
Well, I mean, it's the Rams that won. And then the Buccaneers beat the Cowboys. I'm not sold on them. So I would say Rams, Packers, Cowboys.
Okay.
And Buccaneers at 4.
Wait, just to be clear, you have the Buccaneers behind the Cowboys?
Yeah, this isn't college football where you just automatically. the Packers lost 38.
You don't watch college football, Breach.
The Packers lost 38-3 to a team. I'm not going to move them down to 10th behind the Saints because they got smoked in one game.
Dang.
Wait, what do the Saints have to do with this? I don't know what the Cowboys.
Well, you're asking why the Buccaneers are ahead of the Cowboys when the Cowboys lost to the Buccaneers, and I'm giving you an example.
Clearly, the Cowboys are ahead of the Buccaneers. What breach bot? Jerry Jones has reactivated the breach bot. Is that
breach bot has been reactivated? Third best team. Moving up too after they beat the Panthers on Sunday. They're going to move up.
Everyone, when do you move up from 3-1?
2-1. There's two spots there.
Because you beat the Panthers. Everyone knows Dak Prescott is better than Tom Brady. Are we done here?
I want to loop you guys in just for a moment into some Philly talk.
Oh,
no. So Nick Sirianni.
Or Ben Simmons.
Please, God, no.
Ryan's like, who's Ben Simmons?
Now I'm all.
Ryan's like, you see the guy who runs the ringer?
Yeah, that's the BS pod. Listen, I love it.
Now I'm all frazzled.
You got him all discombobulated.
Nick Sirianni wore this shirt that said "Beat Dallas."
The Cowboys tweeted out
is super split on is he pandering? Should he do that? Should he not? Like, as pretend it was Tomlin or Zach Taylor or
wait, Nick Sirianni before the game
late last week, Thursday or Friday at practice, he wears it. You know, it's a ballsy move. You know, they win. He's already a hero in the city.
Sidney Lowe showed up to the Dean Dome.
Oh God, it's nothing
wearing
like
a red blazer. Roy Williams is like, well, I'm going to end your career in life, and sure enough, he did.
Right. Yeah. Obviously, he's not Nick Sirianni, not fearful of Mike McCarthy. But I have no issue.
Sirianni even a Philly guy?
No, but the issue with, I think, some of the fan base is that he's trying too hard to, assimilate. Yeah. Last week before the game, he was wearing an Iverson, T-shirt jersey field before the game. Yeah, a jersey. Well,
the concern isn't that he was trolling the Cowboys. The concern is that
he's trying too hard.
He might be a poser.
Right. Yeah, without results so far, one and two records far. And
the offense has sucked the last two games.
Correct.
Yeah.
So what if he dresses up like Rocky next week? Will that make you like him more or less?
That's next.
That'd be awesome. You got boxing gloves on.
Puts a GoPro on and gets shirtless and American.
And eats a cheesesteak during the press conference.
Yeah, no, that would annoy me. Without the wins.
And then week five, he dresses up as Ben Franklin.
And then Ben Simmons. There it is. Ooh. Full circle.
There we go.
But the thing is, if you're winning.
Meek Mill?
Oh, I'm shocked. You just.
Oh my God! You're shocked. I know who Meek Mill is.
Yeah.
If you're winning, you can do that. If you're not winning, it's highly annoying.
Correct.
Especially in a city where there's very little tolerance for foolishness.
I think he'll reconsider next time around when the Eagles play the Cowboys later in the season, unless this things get turned around from the past 2 weeks.
You do know what the Cowboys tweeted out after the game, right? You've seen that.
I can imagine social teams
I didn't know the Sirianni thing. I was like, why did the Cowboys tweet this? Cowboys tweeted out a picture of the shirt and then wrote, by in big letters. So it said beat by Dallas.
Yeah, that's just
that's not bad. I like him putting himself out there. You know, he knew that if they lost by one or by 20, there would be this kind of consequences.
Yeah, if you lose by one, people would be like, all right, I love the moxie. You lose by 20 and your offense sucks. And
I would even go so far as to say that, remember when Freddie Kitchens wore the Pittsburgh started it shirt to the movies with his daughter? That's more like wholesome, folksy, if you will, than
he's at least like going out and like in the like Sirianni's at practice where he knows he's
feel like he's trying too hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you're being compared to Freddie Kitchens, you're already behind the eight ball. Like, let's be honest.
Fair point. Fair point.
Like, I just did what I hate about sports talk radio, and that's the type of conversation that is
No, but for a Philly Dallas rivalry with a first year coach, when both teams are kind of in like three point spread, you don't know who's gonna win. People thought the Eagles were going to win. A lot of people bet on the Eagles.
Look at it this way, Debo. This is the first time they took Nick Sirianni doing what he did for me to compliment Freddie Kitchens. That's who your coach is.
That's big. And we know Mike McCarthy would not wear a beat Philly shirt.
No.
I don't know what that says about him, but
he would wear a giant North Face Dallas Cowboys.
He'd wear an eat Philly shirt.
Miami when he plays up there, just sweat his face through it.
I heard that, Ryan.
Thank you. It's hard to get him in.
shut up. You get everything you want. The problem is
husband of the year, Will Brinson.
What did you say?
Husband of the year, Will Brinson. Shut up. You get everything you want.
Shut up. You say whatever you want. The problem is Sirianni. If you take the Eagles job, you shouldn't draw unnecessary attention to yourself. Just
Did Doug Peterson draw unnecessary attention to himself, Debo?
No, not until the Super Bowl when he just had big balls. Doug Peterson ran Philly special.
And it was Andy Reid was before. Is that there's no one in between?
And Andy Reid was not
Chip Kelly.
Oh, ouch.
Chip Kelly drew unnecessary attention to himself.
He sure did.
Yeah.
Strong start. Not a great finish.
It's again, like I'm not trying to talk about NC State, but it's the same sort of fan base. It's this outlandish, high expectation fan base.
Except that the Eagles win.
I mean, okay, y'all, you can dunk.
You beat a terrible Clemson team, and suddenly you're the New England Patriots.
Oh, yeah, we're peacocking, baby. The point being is that you don't need to unnecessarily draw the attention of the fan base. Just run a good offense. Play close games with Dallas. Try to beat them. You don't need to be peacocking around in a beat Dallas shirt.
It was a peacock, and he was at practice, or he was at the press conference.
You're wearing a beat Dallas
shirt. I'm curious, like what players would think of something like that. Are they inspired by their coach, or like this is a little corny? Like let's just have a good offensive game plan.
I think it's 50-50, but it's getting photographed and being put on NFL Network.
But that might work in college, but I don't. When you're working with 30-year-olds, they might be like, "Yeah, all right, let's tone it down."
Can you imagine Bill Belichick showing up in a like beat the Jets shirt? Come on.
I can. He wore it to the press conference where he resigned from the Jets.
He just wrote it on a cocktail napkin, turned it in, and left. Like, you just don't. That's
Bill out.
And it also, and Sirianni already had the previous like public red flags of the rock papers. I mean. I don't think they're a big deal, but when you start adding them up, you're drawing attention to yourself you don't need to draw attention to.
Where's he from?
He's Frank Reich's right-hand man from...
He went to Southwestern Central High School. Where is that? New York?
He was in the Chargers where he was quarterback's coach for my boy, Philip Rivers, and he was OC in Indianapolis.
Oh, he's from down the street. How about that? He's from Jamestown, New York.
He is also like our boy Brandon Staley in LA, who got his start as a Division III college coach.
Okay. I was just wondering, like, if he was
at Mount Union.
Fun fact about Nick Sirianni. Breach is in his living room right now.
Mm. See, three guys got to stick together.
A call is coming from inside the house.
Hey, but if things...
He's from... I think it went to Mount Union, you're right. And then IUP.
All right, Nick. Just wear team issued shirts from now on.
Just
and IUP for those of you don't know is
like an Indiana Andy Reid t-shirt.
Indiana University, okay. Pennsylvania.
There you go. You got it in. I got it.
All right. Anything else, Debo? About the Eagles? You can do whatever you want, Debo. It's your show. Oh, he's got more. Go ahead.
I don't think so.
So where are you at?
I did not want to come off a 20-point loss and enter a game versus Andy Reid's Chiefs after they are 1-2. Oh. Things might not get prettier next week.
Where's that game?
What's the line on that game?
Philadelphia. And it was 6, but I don't know if that's going to change after
the game. You got to bet the Chiefs right now.
Double digits.
I'm making the line 9.5.
That's too low.
Higher.
You think so?
It was 6.5 before this game.
Well, I gave you 3 points, and it's in Philly. Although those fans are going to turn on.
The Chiefs were -6.5 in Philly before tonight's game.
I know. I went to 9.5.
That's a pretty significant swing.
You just said it wasn't enough.
I would say it's not enough to prevent me from betting it.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Right. Exactly. I thought it was a lot, but you still seem hell bent on taking the Chiefs.
It moved up to 7.5. You should
go there and light the Eagles on fire.
It moved up to 7.5.
What about this? 12.5.
No. I mean, I would, if it was like +210, I would take it.
I mean, I'm looking at a book that updated at 11:37 p.m. tonight, and it still had Chiefs -6.5.
You should jump all over that.
Put a couple units down for all of us, Diva.
Except the Chiefs are never 2-14 against the spread. Exactly.
They're daring.
Did you watch the Eagles tonight?
Did you watch the Chiefs defense? Jalen Hurts is going to just run around.
Well, that would require actual rushing attempts. The problem is they didn't run the ball, you see, Breach.
Got it. That is true. That is a problem.
All right.
Go ahead. I was going to ask Debo where he is on his frustration scale with the Eagles. Because I would imagine, you know, the end of the Carson Wentz era, he wasn't happy about that. Is he just resigned to his fate, or is he?
He looks like a 7.5.
I'd say it's a 3.5.
Yeah, the last 18 months have not been fun.
It's a long stretch.
Yeah, it's like as you get further and further away from
a long-term relationship, do that.
Further and further away from 2017, it's like, all right, like these losses, especially to Dallas, hurt like more than like losing the year after. So panic level is not, you know me, optimistic. Mathematically eliminated, but the frustration is up there. I want them to have a quarterback.
Oh boy.
I want them to have a competent coach. I thought they probably made the right move, but I thought at this time last year that they had the right pair coach and quarterback for the foreseeable future, and that didn't pan out.
I will say this. The Carson Wentz trade looks very smart for the Eagles.
I guess. I mean, they're not winning football games, but I mean, what's the?
No, but I mean, like that. Like the Colts are going to do something stupid with Carson Wentz. I wrote about that today in the Sunday Pile. They're going to 100% try to make the playoffs, play him in 70+% of snaps, or 70% of snaps plus playoffs, or 75% of the snaps and no playoffs.
Right.
And the Eagles get the first round pick. And the Colts.
So wait, if he plays 68% of the snaps and they go to the playoffs, you don't get the pick.
You got a second round pick.
Gotcha.
But 75% snaps, no playoffs.
Right.
I mean, that might be that, like right now it's the third pick.
But he's played every snap so far, right?
I did the math. It's 3.5%, I think.
Yeah, okay. Easton came on last week.
But I feel like if you get mathematically eliminated, you just say, sorry, Carson, we're benching you. We're not losing the first round pick.
Yes.
But
you're in the AFC South, where it's very difficult to get mathematically eliminated.
But they're 0-3.
Right. Frank Wright laid
his neck out for Carson Wentz with Chris Ballard, who doesn't give up draft picks. If Chris Ballard, it feels like,
he traded a first-round pick to San Francisco the year before, so he does give up draft picks.
Wait, what'd you say?
He sent a first-round pick to San Francisco the year before.
For DeForest Buckner? I mean, that's.
He just said he doesn't give up draft picks. He gives up draft picks.
I mean, not for like nothing. Carson Wentz is a no-ankled mofo who's like around.
You just hate Carson Wentz.
We don't need this slander.
Slander.
It's not slander. It's just facts.
Debo, what is the Eagles' final record going to be? Yeah. Predict or, right now.
And I have a follow-up.
Podcast go longer?
Don't even put an S on your lips. Don't even put an S on your lips, Debo.
But 7-10.
Oh, my God.
All right. my follow-up question, which I think now I know the answer because you're clearly smoking crack. Who wins more games? Who wins more games, the Eagles or the Steelers?
Ooh, Eagles.
Team on the east side of the state.
I take the Eagles.
Ooh.
Crappy division.
That's a fun question.
Steelers are terrible.
Did you see this game on Monday night?
Yeah. Did you got blasted by a John Breach fire hose on Sunday.
I don't appreciate that vision.
Fire Marshal Bill got you with the fire hose.
That's Breach's second dunk in 5 years. Congratulations, Breach. Stay hot.
I'm short, man. I'm not used to dunking.
I would say the Eagles are -125, Steelers are +115 for most wins of the season.
I think, you know, Debo's 18 months into his thing. I think I'm in month like one of my 18 month journey. Like
several titles and
yeah, I'm fine with it. I've accepted it, and
I'm always good. I mean,
here's the thing: like, I'm happy for Breach now. Give it a month when he's such a D-bag that I'm going to just be passive aggressively hoping that team loses every single game.
By the way, the Chiefs, as I pointed out in Slack, -114 to win the AFC West.
Love the Chiefs. Love
I mean, them. Don't you have to bet that?
I was on them last night. No one wanted to listen to me.
No, -120 or I mean -130 or better. I'm betting them.
Love them.
It's probably going to backfire. I mean, the Chargers are like 4-1, but the Chiefs, like just essentially.
How much fun is it to keep betting the Chiefs? Why would you? I mean, mix it up. Have some fun with the Chargers. See if something different happens.
Or just if you bet, let's say you want to bet the Titans against the spread this week, -7.5, it's -110. It's 4 cents cheaper than just betting the Chiefs to win the division. You're just betting on Patrick Mahomes to be better than Derek Carr, Teddy Bridgewater, and Justin Herbert.
Mm-hmm. Raiders at +550, wherever they were. That's
don't get
wrong
crazy.
Numbers.
Bet the Chiefs. Everyone bet the Chiefs. If the Chiefs are near even money, bet the Chiefs.
I think spice it up and bet the Chargers. That's all I'm saying.
Really spice it up and bet the Chargers.
You're gonna spice it up. You need to go not spice it up.
You could just bet the other three teams, and as long as the Chiefs don't win, you guarantee yourself a profit.
Breach Bland Brinson says bet the Chiefs.
He sounds like Sean Wagner McBleep here.
Bet the Chiefs.
No, it's just take an obvious bet. That's what you used to say to McBleep all the time.
It's the obvious buy low. You're buying the Chiefs at the lowest possible point. But do you hear what Breach just said, Wilson? He goes, bet the other three teams. As long as the Chiefs don't win, you're guaranteed to win money.
He's not wrong.
That's called math, Brinson. You want three teams or one team?
All right. Let's do a bet. You want to do a bet?
No.
Oh, God. I'll take
the Chiefs -114. I'll give you all three other teams.
You know what's funny is the last time I made a bet like this was with RJ, and I won the bet. So maybe I should.
That's not funny, by the way.
You didn't say what the bet was.
It was the AFC South. He took the Colts, and I got the other three teams.
Okay. Do you want to take the bet or not? Cannot involve shaving hair.
Okay. Oh, God. All in for that.
Cannot involve shaving hair.
Shave our beard.
Yes,
you can't shave the beard.
I'll shave my beard.
not shave the beard. You have to do the Abe Lincoln. Just save the mustache off, leave the beard for two weeks.
I like that move. That's what I think I need in high school. Was the beard, no mustache.
Yeah, the chin strap. I can see that. All right, let's get out of here. Talking about your stupid facial hair.
We're talking about.
I want to make sure this podcast is longer than Sunday night's podcast.
Well, that won't happen with me.
I'll be asleep, and Wilson will be dead. He can't stay up.
Should we make it a bet or no?
Yeah, we can make the bet.
All right, wait, $20.
Oh, we're betting money or beard shaving?
I mean, beard shaving is kind of...
No, you see the Abe Lincoln.
All right. No. We got to do a stupid goatee. Oh, no, you already have a goatee. Never mind. All right, so...
goatee.
I'm just kidding. Your beard looks great. You got to shave a Fu Manchu. Loser shaves a Fu Manchu.
What is wrong with the Abe Lincoln? I think the Abe Lincoln is sufficiently stupid looking.
No mustache beard?
Yeah.
Or like the Wolverine chops. You have to grow them out.
Actually, here's the bet. I get Chiefs. You get the other three AFC West teams. The or loser
we can just do $20. That's fine.
Whatever Wilson wants into their facial hair.
And I won't mess around and not hold my hands.
There's an extra layer to this because if you F Wilson with a tattoo, he might make you do like double lamb chops with lightning bolts.
But he won't even do that part. He won't even do the lazy man's part of getting
that's
the tattoo.
That's a free bet. It's his facial hair bet for a week. Shave whatever Wilson wants into your facial hair for a week. Deal?
And somebody and I have to send you beer if you win.
Okay.
Okay, I'll take that out. Thank you. What is this, like a FanDuel bonus?
This guy's the worst gambler ever.
Sounds good, man. All right, is that deal?
Virtual yeah, the beard part.
Virtual shake? There we go.
All right,
Wilson gets to pick some stupid facial hair design for you or me.
I will be prepared, unlike Breach with the tattoo art.
And Wilson's going to have like lightning bolts or like ram horns for me.
That's going to be awesome.
All right, so that's the deal. I get Chiefs, you get the other three teams.
Got it.
Come on, Chargers.
Got it. Raiders.
A picture of Ryan Finley into Breach's. All right. Getting out of here for this hits an hour. Devo, sorry for your loss. You're handling it, I wouldn't say well, but you look fine. See you guys.